You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the co-host of this wonderful podcast. And joining me, because you could not get enough of us together, it's the writer from Forbes.com, Indianapolis Community News, Mr. Tony East. Tony, how are you doing right now?
I'm good. I had a long day with a stressful real work situation, so I'm excited to not deal with that and talk about basketball and the Pacers. And in this case, also, the entire NBA as a whole, something we very rarely get to do, but I like doing.
Yeah, so on today's show, we are going to do our NBA season predictions. We're going to do the awards to start off the show, and then we'll go conference by conference, and hopefully probably at the end, say who we think will be the champions, representative these conferences, maybe the conference finalists in each of the conferences. So I think we should just get into it because we got a long show ahead. So
yes.
What award do you want to start with of the five major awards, which are MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player, and Sixth Man of the Year?
MVP is the most fun, right? But I don't want to do it first.
Let's start with the boring one. Sixth Man of the Year. You got anybody you think can for sure going to win it?
Well, the thing is, the two top Sixth Men of the Year last year, Schroeder and Montrez, are now on the same team, right? So only unless voters maintain again for the umpteenth consecutive year that being the seventh man on your team makes you eligible for the award, it's going to be kind of harder to cut through those. And Schroeder's probably going to start. So some of the usual cast of characters may no longer be award eligible. Lou Williams is always a good pick. He'll continue to come off the bench for the Clippers. I find it hard to believe that he will not be in that conversation. But outside of those obvious guys, it's kind of hard to project who will be even coming off the bench to the extent that they could run away with the award at this point in time. I'm trying to think, maybe Caris LeVert, if he doesn't start for the Nets, could be a good Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Just trying to think of teams around.
So I think a good thing, I would ask this list, who's going to start for the Miami Heat?
The same guys as last year? Oh, they don't have Crowder anymore. Probably Mo Harkless in his spot.
Right, so are you going to get Goran to start? Was he starting last year?
Yeah, in the playoffs.
So let's say the starting five is probably Goran, Butler, Hero, Harkless, and Bam, right? So Duncan Robinson, to me, is not a bad pick for this one.
No, Duncan Robinson will start over Tyler Hero.
Okay, so then Hero. So I was going to say one
Hero's
of those.
Hero's a good
two,
one. Hero's
that's one of the two I would put as the favorite just because they're two of the – I mean, Duncan's a specialist, but he was really, really good. So if he starts for sure, then Hero would be my kind of odds on here just because of the way he played last year and how good he was in the bubble.
The Hawks signed about 70 players this offseason who are all good, right? So they have to have someone. It sounds like, per Travis Schlenk's conversation with Hawks season ticket holders, that Danilo Gallinari is actually coming off the bench for the Hawks, if that's true and that holds for the whole season, and they keep him behind Collins. He's still going to play 28, 30 minutes a game, and it's Gallinari. He's really good. So if the Hawks are any good, that's a good pick too.
Yeah.
Are any Pacers even kind of relevant in this conversation?
Justin Holiday probably is, maybe.
Yeah, he's got a shot, but he does not fit the mold of the guys who typically win this award, right?
The other one is Aaron Holiday, right? He could if he just makes a leap and is on the bench. So the one that's hard about this award is, like, for most awards, they have, I think, like, future markets for betting. There is really number six man of the year or most improved.
It's hard at this point because teams don't really know – well, air quotes, don't really know who's starting.
Yeah.
But – It's sometimes possible to figure out. Like, we figured out with Tyreek Evans, we thought he'd be a good Sixth Man of the Year, and he was not, right? So that's why it's kind of a hard award to predict too.
Well, and you don't know who's going to write. Like you said, you don't know who's going to be where. I mean, you really just it's kind of like.
And a lot of people think Lou could get traded. So I think if I had to pick one right now, I'd pick Gallinari. But I don't really know. That's a hard one.
I think I'd pick Tyler Hero, but that's just
that's a good one.
I don't know. I think, like I said, I just think the Heat are going to be pretty good this year, and he has such a good bubble. And if he, you know. I mean, he looked like he was, you know, a borderline, like, I don't know, if he played like that for the whole season, like a top 25 player, and if he's not on the bench, then, I mean, he's got, that's like a runaway Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see. That's a tough one. Just because Trez switched spots and Schroeder switched spots and a lot of Sixth Men, right? If you're a really good Sixth Man, you want to get promoted to that starting spot. So it's very rare that, like, a guy like Lou and Jamal Crawford just hold it down for so long. I think this year we're finally getting back to a little more normalcy with that spot.
Okay, so the next award is – let's just do – we'll do the least interesting to most interesting. So most improved player of the year.
That one's always hard because me being morally opposed to, like, the growth of young players counting here doesn't matter. Like, Ingram winning it was fine because he was a fourth-year guy. He switched spots and took off. Did he ended up winning, right? I don't actually remember.
I believe he did.
I like the Devontae Graham kind of guy. I guess he kind of grew it from a young player from year one to two, but like he's older and he went from a nobody to really good, or like the Vic win, right? Where you go from a solid NBA player for a long time to like awesome all of a sudden. CJ McCollum was kind of that way as well. But it's the hardest award to predict, right? I guess because of my own thoughts on the award, right? I could have easily been like, yeah, Brandon Ingram's going to be better, right? He's a young guy who's going to get better. Like Luka did well in that award. Like, duh, he'll get better too. So thinking of it the way the NBA has thought of it, Zion seems like a good pick for a most improved player just because he's going to be amazing next year and he didn't play that much the year before. So I like that one. I like Seth Curry here. I think he's going to really take off with the Sixers. He's a good fit there. He's going to have the ball more. So I think he could really show off what skills he could do. Just canvassing the league in my head right now is kind of hard. And John Ananobi is another one I think that could be good here.
I've got one, I think.
Go ahead.
So what about a Marvin Bagley, a guy who could break out? You know, he's been about 14 points per game. Could he get to like 20 this year? I wouldn't put it past him. He was only playing 25 minutes a game. Could he get up to 30 this year? I mean, that's the kind of jump. Like, the thing, like, for the Pacers, right, you could say Sabonis, right? Like, Sabonis could go from 18 points to 24 points this year. And that might be a little crazy, but, like, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. But he was already an all-star. It's hard to improve past that, right? It's hard to, like, you kind of hit a hurdle, right? Like yeah. Giannis in year, what, like, 4-5 and 5-6 improved each of those, a lot of each of those, like, kind of years. But he'd already won most improved. He's going to win it again, even though he got even better the next year. Like, same with Luka, right? Like Luka could
have his last Steph game. Could have won most improved many times.
Yeah, so it's sort of like usually it has to be someone who is either an afterthought who's been kind of underperforming, like Brandon Ingram last year, right? Underperforming his first 3 or 4 years and just takes off. 25 points a game. I mean, you know, goes from being some guy who we're not even sure should be, you know, is he worth like trading or is he worth anything in a trade, to like he's maybe the centerpiece of that now Davis trade, and actually he is. I don't know what else it would be. One of the draft picks turned out to be fantastic.
So, you know how the league is counting it so that, like, if you're a rookie who debuted in the bubble, like Bol Bol, you're still eligible for Rookie of the Year this coming year? I wish that was true for Most Improved, because if no one saw TJ Warren explode in the bubble, he'd be a great Most Improved.
Well, candidate. Tyler Hero would be the other one, right, too?
Yeah, same deal.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, you do get sometimes guys who go from, like, 16 points to 20-plus points, right? I mean, if somebody sort of breaks that kind of
barrier. I like the Bagley pick. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's original. I think I heard somebody say that on a podcast. But somebody said
that. Another good one.
Yeah. Like, DeAndre Ayton might not be a bad one, although he's had pretty good stats. Like, but he might not be, you know, he could go kind of a next level, especially playing with Chris Paul, kind of a Lob City going again.
I'm going to go with Bagley. You convinced me on that one.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm some genius here. I don't think I'm the only one who said that. It's a good one to think about.
Adam Friedman with a great original thought that I can't believe no one has told me Marvin Bagley's a good.
Well, I guess if you haven't heard it, then it must be new. Okay. So let's do next one, Rookie of the Year, because this one actually, there's what, three guys competing for it, unless somebody is a sneaky late round guy who turns out to be amazing, right? We're looking at the three guys are.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and Cassius Stanley, right?
James Wiseman in there, man.
Those are our three guys. Oh, James Wiseman, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he was like picked by, you know.
Easy. Let's get the Pacers out of the way. Cassius Stanley's not going to win Rookie of the Year. Okay, moving on. Yeah, that one's interesting because Anthony Edwards being the first pick in theory should give him the leg up, but it seems like Wiseman and LaMelo are in better situations to win the award, right? Even Obi Toppin's in a better situation to win the award than Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with this award, it's kind of interesting, right? Because you can be a really good stats, bad team guy and win this, right? Like, I think the perfect example is Carl Williams, my Syracuse guy, right? Just on a terrible Sixers team, but had, I think, was averaging like 18 points a game, right?
Makes, you know, no health, sense in retrospect. Yeah,
health played a ton of factor in this. I mean, I guarantee there'll be some
Brogdon.
Top three rookies will end up getting hurt. I mean, it's just the way it is. See how many games they play and whatnot, but that's like kind of the way the NBA's been. I mean, so many of these 19-year-olds, they start to like play, you know, real level minutes and real practicing, and all of a sudden, you know, something happens. It just happens. I feel like it happens every few years. You have the number one pick miss the season. So, yeah, I mean, I think if I had to like pick one, I would go with Wiseman because it's going to be in the best situation, if that makes sense, just because he's on a, even though Clay's not there, he's playing a lot of veterans. He's going to be needed at times. They're going to play him small ball a little bit. I mean, it's a good kind of style, and he should have the least amount of defensive pressure because Steph's still going to like garner, you know, double teams and all kind of attention. It's going to leave, you know, him as the afterthought open for a ton of shots. But I mean, I would maybe LaMelo Ball because
ironically
opportunities. I don't know.
Two of the rookies I'm the lowest on, I think, have the best chance at this. That's Wiseman and Obi, because of their situations, right? The Warriors might play Wiseman a ton, and he fits kind of what they need as an athletic rim running center. Obi Toppin's going to have the ball out with the Knicks, and the Knicks stink, and we'll just give the ball to whoever. So I think both of them have a good chance to put up that good stats, bad team guy. I really like LaMelo. I think he's going to be the best player in this draft, but they just got Gordon Hayward, and they have some okay players on that team. He might not. He might just be an inconsistent rookie year kind of guy as he grows. So that one's kind of tough for me to go with. Another guy I like is Tyrese Maxey from this draft. I think he could, if he gets a good role with the Sixers, maybe sneak into this conversation. But I don't know. Maybe that's a bit of a reach. But I just think
it's worth noting the Vegas odds have LaMelo at +400, Anthony Edwards +500, Wiseman +500, Obi Toppin +700, and Killian Hayes +800.
Killian Hayes is the last guy I wanted to mention because the Pistons might let him just grow through stuff. But
yeah,
I think I'll go with Obi Toppin. I think that you know, the Knicks limelight, him being a good offensive player, might get him this one.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think. I mean, this award has also been won sometimes by like a senior in college that left, that came in a little more prepared than a lot of other players.
Obi Toppin.
Right, that's one. Peyton Pritchard probably won't play a ton, so maybe not. I think he's a senior, went to Boston.
He's also bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but like, there, I mean, who knew? I guess people thought Barton was going to be very good when he got drafted. He went number 35 overall.
I think there's a lot of draft people I like thought Brogdon would be good.
Okay. I mean, what about Michael Carter Williams? I mean, I think he was kind of
number one, so that's a little different, but yes.
Yes. Michael Carter Williams went 14, Tony.
Wait, who went one in that draft? A different Sixer went one in that draft, right?
Yeah, I think it was like the Embiid draft. When that one,
I can't remember who it was. That's why
Carter Williams did not go number one.
Yeah, woo. Someone else went on to the same team.
But that would be quite the bust if he went number one.
Yeah, okay. Whoo, that was a flummox. Obi Toppin, move on.
Wait, hold on. I want to see what – now you're having an issue with what draft –
Cut that from the record.
All right, we'll move on. Okay, Coach of the Year. This is an interesting one because
– mine, I have an easy one. But okay. You can make it interesting if you want it.
Go on, go. Name it.
Frank Vogel. Move on for me.
Okay, but here's the thing. Usually the Coach of the Year ends up being a surprise.
You know the number one pick in Michael Carter-Williams draft?
Who?
Anthony Bennett.
Oh, that's why. That was the worst.
It was awful. Who was number one? Or who was the Sixers high pick then? They were actually okay in 2013.
Yeah, that was their first. That was their first tank year. Was the year with him? I think
we were both wrong. MCW went 11, not 14, but whatever.
He was three picks up.
Disaster.
You said he went one, Tony. Much closer.
Coach of the Year, I think it's going to be Vogel. He'll have the riding high from the championship, and the Lakers are still going to be really good. So, Frank Vogel.
See, I do wonder if Denver becomes the number one seed in that conference.
Malone has got a shot.
Right. I wonder if, because of the Lakers, you know, whatever, they're not regular season trying. They're probably not going to be any home playoff games anyways. You know, I could see that. I mean, if the Clippers can steal that seed, could Tyronn Lue get it? Maybe. Say, I think you could talk about Doc out east,
that's
too.
That's what I was going to say. I think well, the Lakers are like tier of their own kind of level, but even the Bucks are kind of high rated, to the point that if any non-Lakers, non-Bucks team gets the one seed, I think that coach will get heavy, heavy thought for Coach of the Year. Doc Rivers, like you said. Nick Nurse, if the Raptors are really good again. Steve Nash, if the Nets.
Yeah, I'm going to say Nash is my other one because he's well-liked, and if that team is really, really good and he puts all the stars together, he's a good shot for that one too.
Yeah, but I think if the Lakers do what they're supposed to do this year, I think it'll be Vogel.
I just don't think the Lakers are going to be maybe regular season great because of just the short –
That's fair.
I'm back, and they'll be fine. I'm sure they'll win. I don't know. I guess usually I would say they win 50 games, 55 games, but I don't – whatever the win percentage of that is this year, so 50 wins this year.
Does Bjorkgren have a shot?
Well, he does if the Pacers end up being like a top three seed.
That's what I was going to say. If they reach top four, top three seed levels. But see, that I wonder with a new coach how much of it will be like, wow, Bjorkgren's awesome, or like, holy, Nate McMillan is not, you know.
Well, it's kind of both, right? That's kind of how – when Budenholzer won his, right? He followed after Jason Kidd, and it was like night and day, right? And that's how he won. Because I think that first year they were good, but they weren't like the 60-win team. They were like a 55-win team. But he would look so much better than Jason Kidd that it didn't matter. Like, it was like, oh, this guy's a great coach.
Right.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think I had to pick
Vogel, knowing full well that it could very well be someone else.
If I had to put my money on it, I'd actually probably put it on Mike Malone.
Wow.
And I know it's weird. I think they're going to be the one seed.
That is weird. I agree.
I think they are going to be the one seed this year, but that's just me. Okay. Now to the big award, the one that actually
tend Wait, Bjorkren, yeah, we already talked about it. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, we talked about Bjorkren. I think he has a shot, but the Pacers be really good. Which maybe we'll find out what we think about that in a few minutes. All right, MVP. So I'm gonna read you the odds of the or who are the let's say the top five favorites right now. They're Luka has the highest odds, which I think is surprising, but maybe not because he's probably your MVP. Giannis.
He's not my MVP.
Steph Curry, LeBron, James Harden. Just a surprise still, Anthony Davis in the top six.
Okay. My number one is Giannis again. He's just too good. I think he's just absolutely the best regular season player in the NBA. That has yet to translate to the playoffs. My number two is going to shock you. Are you ready?
Okay.
My number two, with a good coach and a great GM and a better roster around him, is Joel Embiid. Mm. And my number three is Luka Doncic. And my number four is Anthony Davis. And my number five is James Harden.
Okay. So
I don't know why I don't have Jokic top five. Jokic could be awesome and just make me look stupid.
So that's what I was going to say. Jokic would be my sneaky MVP candidate. Yeah. I'm not sure he'll win it. But if I think the Denver's going to be number one seed, he might. Right? I mean, that's what we could see. And I think Jimmy Butler's sneaky here, too.
I should probably have Jokic above Harden just because of the number of games.
Yeah.
You're right. I might flip those right now.
Okay. To me, I would say you're probably right. Giannis is the favorite. Although, I think there's some narrative, and that's why you could see Luka becoming. Because I think Luka could average, you know, like 30-something points per game.
We could but the Mavs aren't going to be a top four seed.
I think. But if he puts up 35 a game, it might not matter.
Yeah, I guess.
Right? So, to me, they're tied at that. And then in that sense, Steph, I just don't think can stay healthy the whole year. I mean,
they're not going to win enough either.
Yeah, and he just can't stay healthy. I think LeBron and Davis cancel each other out, barring something crazy. And so I would say, all right, I'd probably go Jokic three. I would throw in a sneaky Jimmy Butler at four. And I mean, I guess one of Davis or LeBron would be five, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like Embiid than the other two guys that are wild cards for MVP every year, right? If Kevin Durant is old Kevin Durant, he's always in this conversation. He's just
I just don't know yet. I mean, I think – I just don't know.
Yeah. I hope he's awesome. He's one of my favorite players ever. I think he was the best player in the league for 3 years running before he got hurt. And then Kawhi, if he plays enough games, I doubt he will. But if he does, he's always in the conversation.
The other guy who's sneaky is Jason Tatum. If he keeps going up and up, he could be definitely an MVP. But I think – probably it's Giannis just because I imagine that team will win an ungodly amount of games. He'll have great stats.
We haven't even said Dame. Dame also always has to sneak into these combos.
I just think the team will be good enough.
That's Dame will never win it, but he'll always sneak into the combo.
Yeah, I mean,
here's a fun way to talk about MVP. I picked Giannis. First of all, before I say my fun thing about MVP, Pacers have no shot, right? No one on the Pacers can win this.
Vic is a plus 8,000 on the odds market.
He's the only one on there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not on a great side.
The Pacers are the one seed in the East. First of all, Bjorkren wins Coach of the Year. Who who wins MVP? I mean,
Sabonis. Sabonis.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe Sabonis, but I don't even know if he can do it.
I mean, he'd have to surpass Jokic as a player. I think
it would have to be one of Warren or Oladipo. But okay, so here's my fun MVP.
Okay,
who is the absolute best player in the league that you can say has no chance winning MVP this year?
The list,
like Kyrie, Siakam, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell was the one I was looking at, but the problem is I would probably actually say LeBron and Davis, one of them because they'll cancel each other out. But there's a chance.
LeBron always has a chance.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Yeah, I guess my might be Paul George.
Trae Young might be mine also.
Just because Paul George, he's probably not good enough to ever win it. But he could have a nice stretch in the conversation, but he just won't be able to put it all together. Like he'll, you know what I mean? He'll do what he did in Oklahoma City where he had a great year, but for, you know, 8 of the 9 months, it just kind of last month tail off.
Yeah. So. Let's do conference standings. We've done all the awards. Oh, who's your official MVP? Did you say Luka?
I said Luka.
Giannis versus Luka. All right.
Yeah, I just think Luka's going to have a great year. So, yeah. So, let's do this. Let's take one quick break, and then we're going to do the Western Conference rank our 1 through 15. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends over at Headspace. Life can be stressful, and even under normal circumstances, 2020 has challenged even the most difficult times of our lives, and you need stress relief that goes beyond the quick fix. That's what Headspace is for. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of a guided meditation and an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically valued research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has 3 minutes of an SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has the wind down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace has morning meditation you can do with your kids. Headspace approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happy, and Headspace is the meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonmba. That's headspace.com/lockedonmba for one free month trial with access to Headspace full library of meditation for every situation. All right, so I assume with the Western Conference, we're going to start at the bottom, work our way up, because it's no fun to start with our best team, right?
Oh man, I got to think then. I was just typing my list top to bottom during that ad read, and I didn't even get to the bottom yet.
Okay, but I think it's pretty simple who is going to be the worst team. I guess that makes sense.
The Thunder.
Yes.
I don't have to look at the conference that hard to
– No, I know. I knew there's one odd team I'd have. I looked at the same team, but I knew, yeah, they're awful. They're going to be awful.
I'm with you there. Unfortunate for the Thunder, except not really, because they had a great run of long sustained success, including the conference finals and then two MVP winners. So it's about time they enter a rebuild, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have they have a million draft picks, and so they are going to go full tank mode and hope to basically rebuild the big three they had 8 years ago.
Yeah. I guess for them.
Yeah, so I guess to say real fast, last year the conference standings went Lakers 1 seed, Clippers 2 seed, Nuggets 3, Rockets 4, Thunder 5, Jazz 6, Mavericks 7, Trailblazers 8, Grizzlies 9, Suns 10, Spurs 11, Kings 12, Pelicans 13, Timberwolves 14, and Warriors 15. So I think the 15.
I've only gotten through my top 9.
Okay, well, so.
As I go through this is a hard exercise. The West is so good.
The West is really hard, right? So I you want to do it sort of in tiers, right? So I think, like, there's a top tier of about three teams, right? So then, and then there's kind of this. I think the Lakers, Clippers, and Nuggets are the top three.
That is my top three as well, in that order.
Okay, I don't mind.
I think it's Lakers, Gap, and then the other two teams.
So I think regular season wise, it's going to end up being Nuggets, Lakers, Clippers. That's just me.
You are high on the Nuggets.
I am. That's fine. I think they're really good, and I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to get better.
That is totally acceptable. Very good basketball.
So, team. I guess we are going from the top down. So then, in the 4-5, I think there are a lot of options here. But I think the most, to me, what makes, I would probably put the Jazz as one of the 4-5. Right.
I'm looking at the West standings, and I still don't know what team I'm missing. How is this possible? Did I just count wrong? I have a gap left on my sheet that I might have just. I mean, this is just great content right here.
You're really having fun here, Tony.
I know. I just have a gap that I don't need. Okay, so my 4-5 is Mavericks, Blazers. I think the Mavs. Luka's. We just talked about how he could be in the MVP pantheon here. KP, assuming he's healthy for three quarters of the season, which for him is about right. Plus, they added some nice role players. Josh Richardson's going to fit really well on that team. They had a nice draft. I think they're going to be they're going to take that step. We saw how good they were in the playoffs last year. And the Blazers, I think, had the best offseason in the league. So I think that's going to be our 4-5.
Okay. I think I would go.
Do you disagree with either of those?
I would go with Jazz Mavs, but that's just me.
I have Jazz at 6, so I'm not too bothered by you having the Jazz.
So the Blazers, I don't know if I have them at 6. I guess that's what I'm.
Wow.
I mean,
I think Dame is a playoff lock automatically. I have him and Harden in that. They're that good tier, right?
I might go with the Suns at the 6.
Oh, you're going to hate where I have the Suns.
You probably don't have in the playoffs, right?
What's up?
You probably don't even have the Suns in the playoffs, right?
I do not have the Suns in the playoffs. That's okay. Correct.
That's what I figured. So, yeah, I think I would go Suns 6, Blazers 7.
Okay. I have Jazz 6, Rockets 7, because like I just said, I think Harden is also good enough that. Now, the thing is, he could get traded and then just punt this out the window. Everything I'm saying is stupid, but him and Dame are both good enough that it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. They're so good that they're getting their team in the playoffs no matter what. Dame will, a crippled, hobbled him and McCollum and a bunch of guys that exist to roster in the playoffs last year. Now they're actually good. They got pieces that actually make sense. So I think that they are going to be good and have a good shot to make it. The Warriors are the team that I have painfully removed here, but that is my top seven with Jazz 6, Rockets 7.
Okay, so just to recap, your top six is Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Mavs, or Blazers at 4? Which one do you have at the 4?
Mavs 4, Blazers 5.
5, Jazz at the 6, Rockets at the 7. My 7 so far, Nuggets, Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, Mavs, Suns, Blazers. So my 8, I'm deciding between the Rockets and Warriors here.
Okay.
So my issue is James Harden going to show up? And then is he actually going to try? Because then I'd pull him out. And then the other question I have with the Warriors is how many games does Steph actually play?
Yeah, the Warriors are tough, dude. With no Clay, Steph should be good enough that I put them in automatically. I'm just dumb high on the Pelicans, and I have the Pelicans at 8. I mean, this is so, like, fanboy hype of me, but I think Zion is legitimately that good now, and they have other good pieces around them that I think they're going to make it. They have a good coach now, or they have a better roster now. They have a good coach, and I think they're going to be awesome. I have the Pelicans at 8.
Okay. See, that's
my hottest NBA take going into next season.
So that's where I'm kind of on the – because, like
– And I don't know – so I don't know what it is. Isn't this crazy? I just said Dame and Harden are good enough to be playoff locks. Why isn't Steph in that tier? Because Steph should be in that tier. And when he plays a full season, the Warriors have always been amazing. So maybe I'm kind of second-guessing myself right now, but I don't know why.
I think I'd go with the Warriors. I just think Steph –
I'm going to do it. I'm going to switch the Warriors and the Pelicans.
Okay. So I think – so
– live on air, Warriors 8 seed.
Okay. So then now we're talking about non-playoff teams. Like, no, I'm sorry. We're going – there's 10 playoff teams this year.
There's 10.
Oh, who am I kidding? Okay. So then I think of the 9, I'll have Rockets, and then I think I will have Pelicans. And to be honest, that could be flipped. You could convince me the Rockets just suck because they end up having to trade James Harden, but I think – and then in some – those are the 10 teams I think that make the playoffs, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've got Pelicans 9, Suns 10. So we have the same 10 in the playoffs. I also forgot that 10 is playoffs, but – yeah, I agree with you there. So our 4 non-Thunder teams out of the playoffs. Grizzlies, I think they'll be as good as last year, which isn't going to be good enough in the West.
Yeah.
Minnesota, I feel bad for Minnesota. They probably think they've got it going with D'Lo and Cat, but I don't think they're going to be good enough. The Spurs, like the Thunder, their time is over. And the Kings, it's the Kings. There'll never be anything.
So if you had a guess, who is the second worst? I think it probably, in my opinion, would go Grizz, Kings, Timberwolves, Spurs, Thunder, if I had to like do an order. That makes
sense. I have Grizz, T-Wolves, Spurs, Kings, Thunder from top to bottom.
Okay, you think the Kings are that bad, I guess.
Yeah, Fox is awesome, and good lead ball handling will make their team okay, but they don't have anything else that is appealing to me.
Man, it is a murder row. So do you want to just go through and do who we think is going to make out of the finals out of this one?
Lakers. Conference? Yeah, that was
fun. So who are your final two? Let's do that. Let's just –
Lakers, Clippers. I mean, I have a million reasons not to pick the Clippers to make the conference finals, but – until they prove me wrong, which they did last year, right? I shouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt. I should continue to give the Nuggets or Mavs, who outperformed their expectations last year in the playoffs, a little more benefit of the doubt. Or Steph Curry, who has won 3 championships. But, yeah, Lakers-Clippers is my conference finals, and I have the Lakers in that one.
Okay. I think I would go Nuggets-Lakers in that one. I would see a rematch.
I knew you'd have the Nuggets there. The Nuggets had a good offseason. They could be really good again.
They're really good. I don't know. I mean, but the Lakers, like, my only worry with the Lakers, I mean, LeBron's – I mean, maybe it's, like, sacrilege to say, but LeBron's old. I mean, at the end of the day, like, does he finally catch up a little bit and take a step back? And Davis is very good, so they could still win. But I do think if LeBron's not playing at, like, the level he played at, like, even if he's just, like, play below that, they are more vulnerable than you would expect, at least.
That's fair.
Okay. So – anything else that's kind of crazy is going to happen? I mean, do you see like
the problem with this? Sorry.
Yeah.
Is every year there's one team that's just much better than everybody thinks. Like you know what I mean? And like the Heat last year, even the Grizzlies last year, or the Pacers of 2017-18 and the Kings in 2018-19, right? So who's that going to be this year? Because with the way the season goes, that substantial improvement could be enough to be like the Pacers, where you go from not projected to be in the playoffs to firmly in the playoffs. Who could that be amongst that group? I don't know. It's just going to be weird. There's the plan, too. So I don't know what to make of it, but that's just a final thought.
Yeah. You know, I think there is a chance that, like, the Mavs could really, like, just next level. You know, if Luka's, like, MVP level and you got Porzingis there and maybe they make a move mid-season for somebody, depending on who's available.
That's how I feel about the Pelicans.
Yeah, I just think the Pelicans, I feel like, are slow walking, if that makes sense. They're not going to make a big jump, big move right away, but the Mavs kind of have to make a move before they have to pay everybody. It's like it's kind of their last this year, and the summer's the last chance where the Pelicans have a little more time because Zion's still in his rookie deal, so they don't have to quite like rush into a move. And frankly, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm I'm daydreaming of Brandon Ingram plus stuff for James Harden trade. Just thinking about that possibility.
Brandon, okay. I'm thinking does Victor Oladipo end up on the Mavs? That's just me.
What do they give back? Yeah. Let's do the East.
Okay. Let's do one more break.
Pacers Conference.
Yeah, let's do one more break, and then we're going to do the Eastern Conference, and we'll do our finals and champion. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends over at Built Go. Built Go is that great, wonderful energy on-the-go pack that helps you break through that mental or physical wall every day you take it. It comes in a 1.5-ounce package you can put pretty much in your pocket, your briefcase, in your bag. It kind of goes with you everywhere. It's kind of like a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, but it's natural and better for your body. They come in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines an energy gel with collagen protein. It's fast absorbing and easy on your stomach. And it's a little kick of caffeine, which I've always say is really good before a workout or just to get through your day. You know, we all need that caffeine hit. Right now, if you visit builtgo.com, use promo LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. I do not think the Eastern Conference is as easy as the West. I think the top team is easy, but then it gets really, really dicey really fast.
It does. It's a lot of opinion here and a little bit of guesswork, but I agree with you that there is a very obvious top team.
So you want to say it or you want me to say it?
Well, Giannis was my MVP, so I think that kind of gives it away for me personally. And I'm assuming you agree that the Bucks, even if they maybe had a weird offseason, they got maybe a little better. They got weird – it was weird. You know, they lost some good talent, but they also got deeper, but also not deeper. I can't explain it. Like, their top 8 is probably better, but their 9 through 12 is probably worse. So I still think they'll be really good. As long as Giannis plays 3/4 of the games, I think they're the one seed.
Yeah, they have a top, 3 or 4 coach in the conference, if maybe, and on some nights the best coach, depending if he's not, you know, really dumbly resting players in the playoffs. Yep. But overall coaching is really good, and so that's enough. With the best player, that should get you, you know, normally you're 60-something wins this year. I don't know what the equivalent of 60 is, right? 58, something like that. Right. So,
The next tier is huge, and that's why it's a lot of opinion. Who's your 2 seed and 3 seed?
This is a tough one.
Good answer.
So I want to say Boston will be the 2 seed.
Wow, okay.
I mean, they're consistently a top 3 team. They had, you know – they lost a big piece, but not as big as some of the other teams. You know, I guess the Raptors end up always being really good in the regular season, but I just feel like the Raptors at some point, the age thing catch up. They lost Serge. They lost Gasol. I mean, it's kind of adding up a little bit. Obviously, they have some guys to step in, but I'm not sure they'll be as good. And, you know, I think Tatum is just kind of ascending each and every year, it feels like, right? He just gets better and better, and he's, what, 23, 24 or so. He could even be even better next year. He could be, you know, putting up 28 a game or whatever. So, I don't know. I feel like Boston is the right pick.
Tatum's a beast, but I do not have Boston in my 2 or 3. Did you say your 3?
No, I just said my 2.
My 2 seed, and I mentioned Joel Embiid is a dark horse MVP candidate, one of my higher list guys. So obviously I'm having the Sixers here. I think that the only time we've seen the Sixers with proper shooting and ball handling around Simmons and Embiid, they were really good, and they almost went really far in the playoffs. They lost in Game 7 to the eventual champion Raptors. I think they have finally constructed the roster in the right way, got a better coach, improved in a way that will maximize Simmons and Embiid, and I think they will be the second seed. I think they're going to be super good this year.
Okay, so then who is your 3rd?
My 3rd is the Nets, because I think Kevin Durant's a stud, and I think even coming off an Achilles, he'll still be amazing.
Yeah, so that's why I added in 3 slot as well.
I mean, if KD is 90% of old KD, that's still a top 10 player, and Kyrie's really good, Karis is good. They have a beastly coaching. Even if Nash is nothing, just having D'Antoni, Jackie Vaughn, all these guys on the bench, I mean, they'll still have a good coaching staff. I think that they are a lock to be a pretty damn good team. And if Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant there, they could even be 2 or 1. I mean, he's just that good to me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Everything you said, I agree with. And I think Durant will be the test, right? We've seen very few players return from the Achilles and be, you know, even like – close to their previous selves, and we've never really seen an MVP tear his Achilles and come back and be good. Now, Durant is one of the few players I think is like kind of perfectly set up for it, considering that he is not like a pound the ball type of guy. He's more of a finesse player, and his skills come because he's just a great shooter and got great length.
All rhythm, everything.
Yeah, and he can basically play shooting guard if you need to, and that's like kind of the right spot if you're with the Achilles. But we've seen Wes Matthews.
And you don't have to move at all on defense and can keep his body.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about non-contact, right? Like, Wes Matthews is probably the best player towards the Achilles and actually came back to be decent, right? I mean, he was never
better.
Well, Wes Matthews was really good before. I don't know if he got better. But he got close to where he was. Like, he wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't. And so, I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but I do think just having Kyrie, having a better coach, having a more committed team to work, and they're a move. I mean, they could be the James Harden team, and then they're going to be, like, they might be the 2 or 1 seed at that point. Yep. But so, yeah, I agree with you. So, I think in the 4-5, it's actually kind of, for me, it's pretty easy. I would go with, obviously, Sixers, Raptors in the 4-5. Okay. I don't know what order.
Neither of those teams in the 4-5.
Yeah. I don't know what order I would do, but I think I'll probably go Sixers as the 4 and Raptors as the 5, I guess.
I have the Celtics the 4 because Tatum is going to be awesome. Even losing Hayward and them taking a step back going from 3 to 4, I still think Tatum is so good. Kemba's such a wild card to me. Like, they could be relying a lot on Tatum next year, and that's why I think they could fall. You know, we're at the point now, I think Bucks, 76ers, Nets, I have really high odds they're better than the Pacers. The next group here, which is Celtics and Heat, in my 4-5, and I gave away my 6 kind of by default there, but is the, you know, there's a reasonable chance the Pacers could end up better than these teams tier. We're at that point of the standings. But my 4-5 is Celtics because Tatum and Heat because they have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and the best coach in the NBA or one of. So my 4-5 is Celtics Heat.
Okay. I just don't think the Heat will be that great at a regular season team. I don't know.
Possible.
I think they'll might be coasting a little bit.
They got 5th last year, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think they might just coast, you know, and I think that's why I have the Heat at the 6. 6 spot. I'm assuming.
I have the Raptors 6.
Okay, that's what I would assume. So, do we both have Pacers in the 7 slot then?
I do.
Okay. So,
Pacers. I don't know how. I mean, on paper, I don't know how you can have the Pacers worse than 7 unless you're like a Russell Westbrook stan. I mean, I just, you know what I mean? Like, the Hawks had an awesome offseason, but I don't know if they did enough to catch the Pacers on paper. Even if they're going to be maybe close, I don't think they're going to be close, but maybe close. I just don't think it's close that you can do it on paper.
So, what would normally be the last playoff spot, but now it's the 8 seed. Who do you have? I'm leaning Hawks or Hornets if I want to go kind of contrary, but I probably should pick the Magic. They're usually the 8 seed every year.
Wow, you still haven't said the team I have in.
Okay, who do you have?
I had the Hawks there before about 2 days ago. I think that Trey plus actually good players is a good 8 seed advantage in the play-in tournament lock. I have the Wizards now. They have Russell Westbrook, who has been a massive floor raiser for many teams, and as we saw with Paul George, can get a star teammate up to a level. I'm not saying him and Beal are that good of a fit. You know, maybe it's possible, but not possible that will happen. But I think Beal could still be good next to him. They have a bunch of shooting. They can do spread pick and rolls. Thomas Bryant shot amazing last year. They have Bertans. I think the Wizards are going to be okay. Just okay. Not good, but okay enough to, you know, they have Russell Westbrook to get the 8 seed.
Yeah, I'm torn on this because I just don't know if Westbrook's going to play more than like 35 games.
Did he even get hurt that much last year before the bubble?
Yeah, he got hurt in the bubble, and he consistently gets hurt every other year. Something tears. I mean, he I'll read you his last since his MVP year.
I'm already on it.
Okay, let me pull it up. But he like
last year 57, but then 73, 80, 81, 80. So no. Disagree.
46, 67 years before then. I don't know. I mean, I feel like for his MVP year was 2015-16, right?
16-17.
I'm sorry. Right. I mean, but like pre-Durant, it was knee injury here, knee injury there, and that's good. And it just, I don't know. For me, I feel like he'll catch up. And he's kind of had knee issues the past 2 years.
He's 32. That is the reason that you can worry about
his. Yeah. I mean, I know he.
And in those games that he's out, they still have Beal.
I guess, man, I'm thinking too, right? He had knee surgery before every season, right? He like almost consistently would do that every year, it felt like. Am I wrong about that?
I think you're wrong about that, yeah.
I think he's had like 4 meniscus repairs, or like not like major ones, but like, you know, little cleanups at least.
I think you're wrong about that.
Okay. I mean, he tore his meniscus in the playoffs in what, 12, 13, right?
I don't remember when that was.
It's heavy. How many knee surgeries has Westbrook had?
10 trillion.
Yeah, I guess I worry about his health, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he's will be fine. I just worry about it because he's had a few of them and he's getting older. And I mean, he'll try hard. I don't know. I'm just concerned about his health at 32. The way he plays is all.
My other two play-in teams behind the Pacers and Wizards are the Hawks and the Magic. The Magic just they brought back a two team that's been in the playoffs twice in a row. I still think they'll be good. They're being kind of written off unfairly, I think. Maybe they have a chance at the state seed, and the Hawks obviously got a lot better. So those are my teams. I do not have the Hornets in. They're close, though.
So I think for eight, I'd probably go with Hawks. I think they're going to be decent. I'd probably go Magic 9, Wizards 10.
Ooh, the Hornets need this slide. See, Hayward is awesome, and I think he'll explode as the guy, but they're just everything else is just blah. Like, P.J. Washington's going to be good someday, and Miles Bridges will be good someday, and LaMelo's going to be awesome someday. But they're not good yet, and Cody Zeller is blah, and Graham with the ball half as much is blah, and Terry Rozier is very blah. I don't know. I'm not into that.
So of the four garbage teams in the East, what order do you have them in?
Well, I have the Bulls in a closer than people think to the playoffs tier.
Okay, I think they're probably not that good. But
we don't have Jim Boylan anymore, and I think that's going to go a long way.
That for sure helps, sure. Bulls.
Okay, they have vets that make sense to me, unlike the Hornets. You know, Levine's good. Thad is a good fit on any team trying to do well. Saturansky, yep. Same thing, a good fit on any team trying to do well. So any good use of Carter Jr. and Markkanen, plus the infusion of who I like now that I learn about him, Patrick Williams, I think they could be okay. I don't think their playoffs good, and I don't think their bottom dweller bad, but I think they're in a tier of their own here.
Okay, so then what are your bottom three?
Cavs, Knicks, Pistons.
Okay, so am I wrong? I know the Pistons, like are they going to – not they're going to be
Pistons
good.
Pistons are going to be the worst team in the NBA. They're going to suck.
You think so? They signed a lot of players. Like, could they end up just being, like, just, like, I don't know.
Jeremy Grant at the three. What? Like, what? We're big Jeremy Grant fans, but what?
I agree with you. I'm just wondering if they could win. I don't know how many. I mean, it won't be a ton of games, but, like, could they get to – I want to say 30, 35, but I know in this year it's going to be less, but, like, that version of it this season. So, I don't know.
I think Blake Griffin on this Pistons team makes them, like, a 30-win team.
If I was to guess, I mean, I think the Cavs are the worst team in maybe the league outside the Thunder.
Wow. I just agree.
Cavs are going to – I mean, Kevin Love, also somebody who constantly doesn't play.
Free Kevin Love.
Yeah, for real. But he makes too much money.
Kevin Love on a, I love Kevin Love.
Right, they have Andre Drummond, who I think is just like doesn't
– Don't free Andre Drummond. He's not that good.
Yeah, and then who else? I mean, they've got some – I'm struggling to name –
Kevin Love played 56 games last year, so I think he deserves a little more respect there.
Who?
Kevin Love played 56 games last year. I think he deserves a little more respect. Okay.
I just feel like, maybe I'm wrong how many guys miss games, but I feel like he's always had some injury.
Yes, he actually does always have some injury.
Westbrook does too. Westbrook has had a lot of injuries over the year, but I guess he hasn't been very tough of a player, but he's had like three knee surgeries. But I think I agree with you, Bulls. I mean, I think they should just be competent, and I would go maybe Pistons, Knicks, Cavs. But I honestly, I could end up in any order, depending on what happens with injuries during the year.
Yeah, we'll see. But those are my bottom three teams for sure. I think you also agree with
that. So who was your conference finals?
It's tough, right? The Bucks. I want to put in there. They were there 2 years ago, but – or excuse – wait, was the conference finals Raptors-Bucks?
Yes, it was. It was. They were up 2-0, almost went up 3-0 and then lost.
Yeah, they were in overtime of game three to go up 3-0 and they lost. I couldn't remember if they made the conference. Yeah, the Bucks really blew it last year, which deteriorates my confidence in them, but – I think I want to go Bucks Sixers with very good chance that the Nets could usurp either one of those teams, but I think I'm going to go Bucks Sixers.
Okay, I'm going to go different. I'm going to go Sixers Nets because I think it's because I have the way I have it set up, I think that can happen.
Nice. Yep. Okay.
Just because I have the Sixers in the 4-5 slot. I mean,
Sixers Nets is going to be my 2-3 second round battle, and that's going to be a good one, man. That's
yeah.
Going to be awesome.
And I think I have the Nets winning the conference.
I'll take the Sixers in the conference, but I would like as a fan of the NBA, I really like the small market Bucks and their superstar to do something awesome. Just
I think
keep pushing.
I think messing up that Bogdanovich trade screwed him. I mean, not that screwed him, but like that was like the move that made him like elite in like in an own tier, and now they're not quite there.
I'm taking Lakers over 76ers in the final.
Yeah, I think LeBron gets out number 5.
Yeah.
Good
for him. He deserves it. That team is loaded, and he still looks explosive. So,
yeah, I mean, I think, to me, he is on a chase with time to see if he can outlast time to get to 6. If he gets to 6, I think he becomes the greatest player of all time, in my opinion.
He's, I mean, 11 or 10 finals appearances is just insane.
I know it's more than Jordan, and that's the one thing. But like, you do have to get, like, Jordan did get six, and that's just hard to do.
I'm not trying to belittle the six. Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have LeBron had more competition in the sense that, like, the Warriors, like, arguably were one of the greatest teams ever in the middle of his kind of run. But like, he does have some bad finals that he should have won, right? Like, he arguably he should have won 11. You can make a case he maybe should have won 14. I know the Spurs are better, but like, on paper, they were not the better team, I guess. They obviously ended up being. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, that's the kind of series where like, LeBron should be in his peak and should just win that series, I guess. You know, things could have broken better for him in 15, but he had some injury, bad injury, like that kind of screwed him that year. But that's all I mean.
The random lack of playoff appearance in the middle of his dominance, the first year with the Lakers, I know he was hurt, but that's the weird one to me. It's like, what? You know, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess I kind of get it.
So, 10 finals, whatever.
So just to recap, Tony had a conference finals of Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks, Sixers, finals of Lakers, Sixers, and a Lakers champion. I had a conference finals of Lakers, Nuggets, Sixers, Nets, and then I had Nets, Lakers, and the Lakers winning. Although at that point, I don't know, if Durant gets that far, he might be better than LeBron. For MVP, Tony had Giannis winning it. I had Luka, Coach of the Year. He had Frank Vogel. I had Mike Malone. Rookie of the Year, you had Obi Toppin, right? Or did you pick somebody else?
I did pick Obi Toppin.
You went back and forth, so we couldn't quite remember. I was doing it out here. I picked James Wiseman. For Most Improved Player, we both picked Bagley because I think we couldn't think of anybody better, and we have no idea. For Sixth Man, I picked Tyler Herro. Who did you end up picking? Did you pick anybody for Sixth Man of the Year?
Didn't I? Oh, no, I can't remember now.
I don't remember either. Well,
what? Oh, I picked Gallinari. I picked Gallinari.
Okay, he picked Gallo. So those are our predictions. I put them in our Google Sheet, so we'll find out, you know, in 5-6 months whether we were right. We'll probably both be off on a bunch of stuff, but who knows? I mean, maybe we'll get at least the top seeds right in each conference.
Yeah, I'm notoriously stupid, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You got anything else? I mean, any other prediction for the season? You got anything crazy might happen? Do you think they finish the season?
I do think they'll finish again, like with every other sport in the bubble. There's so much money at stake that they're going to value it over lives, unfortunately. But I mean, yeah, our predictions could look stupid. Like we said on the schedule show yesterday, COVID means that anything could happen. Anything.
Yeah. Hopefully they do a bubble. I just checked
the sheet you made and you spelled Obi Toppin and that made me laugh. For
I know. I didn't spell this right. I forgot to do this as we were doing it. So I was like rushing it and talking to you. So not everything's going to be great. So just get over it. It's just for you to see. I apologize in advance.
These are the private workings of the podcast that you guys missed out on.
I apologize. Anybody's name I misspelled. So later in the week, let me pull up our schedule fast to give a little preview now. Let's see if I can pull it up or not fast enough. So later this week, we're going to take tomorrow off because, you know, season hasn't started yet. Then we are going to do I'm going to do a show on what I'm watching for in the preseason. Tony's going to have a crossover show, the Locked On Cavs guys. That's Chris Manning. And who's the other guy that does their show now?
Evan Damarone.
Yes, they're great. We've done many shows with them, so they're good. And then we'll be back again for a whole new set of podcasts. And we are now, I believe, to do this podcast on Wednesday. It is Wednesday, December 8th. So we are 15 days away from the regular season starting and the NBA season starting once again. And we're getting into a basically case games every other day for the better part of 6 months, probably.
It's going to be crazy.
Yep. So that is all for the Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys again tomorrow.